Hey, sorry for the delay. But had a little computer glitch. With that, we're going to open the meeting up, and so we're going to do the roll call.
Commissioner Schmidt,
Here.
Commissioner Nina, Commissioner Weber,
Yep.
Vice Chair Evans,
Present.
Chair Shepherd.
Present. I think we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance before the open session. Last time we did it, and nobody was here, but we can, unless somebody has a recommendation to want to do it
No,
twice.
I'm fine.
Okay. And then, all right, so this period is a general public comment period. The comment period is provided to stuff included agenda, but within the subject matter, and there's nobody on, so public comment. Yeah, nobody online.
Have a caller come in and ask me.
All right, with that, no public comment. We will adjourn into closed session. Stuff recording. We just call that. Okay, thank you very much for coming here today. Sorry for the delay and, a lot of things developed late, and but anyways, we're going to reconvene into open session, and we have nothing to report out of our closed session. We're just actually suspending closed session as we reconvene into open session, because we're going to go back into closed session after we have the open session meeting. So with that, we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Then with that, we'll have public comment. And as I stated earlier, that we'll I'm gonna as we go through the meeting, I'm gonna allow the public to comment on all three proposals, a 3-minute comment on all three proposals. That is there any general public comment?
Hello, Commissioners. Mike Barr, Community System Solutions. As you heard from Harbor Master Mike Rademacher at your last meeting, the hazard mitigation plan has been reviewed and approved by CalOES. CalOES has sent the plan to FEMA for their review. This past Thursday, so your meeting was on Wednesday, the following day, CalOES sent the Harbor an email regarding two items: how to speed up the plan adoption process, since the harbor has already been awarded CalOES funds related to the July tsunami, and you need to have an adopted plan in place to spend those funds. And two, second item was that FEMA management has not been signing documents, so adoption by FEMA may take a while. So regarding the speeding up the plan, CalOES recommended to have the board adopt the local hazard mitigation plan at its next meeting. So your next scheduled meeting. So, and include a resolution with flexible language for revisions should be made to the plan after adoption without needing to readopt it if FEMA does ever respond back. So, that meeting will be scheduled for your next board meeting on May 6th. In the meantime, the plan is now on the Harbor website for the commissioners to review and for the public to review. It's on the main page. There's a link to the plan right there. So, you've got several weeks before your next meeting to be able to review the entire plan that's been approved by CalOES. And so again, we'll review and discuss more at the meeting on May 6th, but I want to let you know that today.
I think our
Hey,
meeting
would
is
you
May
put that?
13th, not May 6th.
May 13th, May 13th.
Yeah, May
Thank you,
13th.
May 13th.
Mike, would you put that into time? Is it delaying it even more? Or you said speed up the process, so
To your next public meeting, it's just fine.
I know, but I mean, as far as the construction start.
It is depending on how you determine how you want to use that CalOES funds. So it does not affect that.
Okay.
It's just the use of the funds you've already been awarded and the potential funds that are being reviewed for award.
So is there any other public comment on this is a general public comment on not on the agenda items, which are the the proposals that we have in front of you, but any other comment you'd like to make to the board?
Hi, it's Alicia. So I'm glad that Mike brought it up because that was something I wanted to follow up on. Did we get any of the hybrid solutions for the nature-based stuff recommended in that? Could you answer that, Mike? Did Moffitt and Nickel put those in there? Do you remember what they suggested would work for our area?
Sure is a different plan, but in this is hazard mitigations, not
for storm surge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Both the CEQA documents and the NEPA document for those construction projects are recommendations for nature-based solutions for those projects to be incorporated into construction, and those were written into those grants. So they're already part of the project.
They are. And then is there a separate link to the CEQA and the NEPA so I can find that?
They're on the, yes, they're on the website.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I know that you guys have very important issues to discuss during closed session, but it seems like we're getting into a habit of when you have closed session that you're delaying the meetings, and meetings are supposed to be on time whenever you say. And I'd really appreciate that if you can't get your things done during the closed session time to end it for that time period and start the meeting at the time you say that it's supposed to be started and then reconvene. Thank you.
I agree with that 100%.
Thank you.
Sorry.
No.
No, I know, and I'm going to work on that. Definitely work on it. Hopefully it'll never happen again.
No.
Any other public comment?
Thank you for the sandwich.
And hearing no more public comment, how about on the screen? Is anybody on the screen wanting to public comment? Okay. So with that, we'll move on to the proposal from Crescent City Harbor RV Park Development Management, BSD Property Management, Daniel Dayham.
Thank you, school. With the time, I appreciate it. So my friend Mike said, speak as long as I want, so it's going to be about 6 hours.
Yeah. I thought we were going to hold him to 15 minutes. Didn't you relay that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so I'm Daniel Dayham. I'm the managing director for BSD Property Management. Basically, this is what we do and what we're going to propose. Obviously, it's your decision at the end of the day. No, however, that we believe in all businesses, there has to be a return on investment. We are an investment company, make that very clear. Our investors gave us a certain amount of money. We currently have several $1 million in the bank. We can ask as many as we want. And my job as the managing director is acquisition, take a property, increase it, enhance it, and then keep it. So that's been our job for many years. It's interesting that there are people that have done this in the past, but unless there are proper management skills, we believe, that have been integrated into any business, it doesn't work. If you look at Yahoo a few years ago, lost. Marissa Mayer was the CEO. She lost the business. The business went under. Today, you don't hear anybody saying, Yahoo this. You say, Google this. And we know that they lost billions of dollars because of mismanagement. We also know that Sears and Kmart, because of poor management, went under. Company's completely gone. You look at Blockbuster with 9,000 stores. It had no vision. It didn't understand the process of developing a property or developing a business. Didn't pay attention. Kodak, same thing, out of business. Toys R Us, with 1,800 stores, lost $15 billion in business. Didn't know what to do. And they were lacking, we believe, three things. Poor management, lack of vision, and lack of cash. Poor management, meaning they weren't too sure exactly what to do. They didn't have experience. They tried. They thought they could, but they didn't pay attention. Because of that, they were missing. We see that, however, other companies like Walmart, Walmart has to date 55 different names throughout the world. They don't operate under Walmart. Walmart is in the United States, but in other countries, they operate in different names. They have 55 different names that they operate, and they have 56% of the market today. You can Google all of this. 56% of the market, as you can see, for the grocery, right? You wouldn't think that 56% of the market groceries should be by other places, Safeway and these other places, not Walmart, but that's what they did. And yet, in spite of all these, they've grown. Same thing with Costco, $400 billion with a 15% margin, where most places, 30%, 80%, Costco is just 15%. Again, what they did is they have proven experience, validated, in this case, accurate result, and experience management. They knew what to do. It was done properly. So we believe that in order to succeed in this process, there has to be proven management, something of nature that would have made this work. Given the current position that we see today in the harbor, we see there are issues. I'm not going to pound on that because we know exactly what you're doing, what you have, and what you don't have. However, if you look at it, there's a modest flow of visitors just driving today by the last Lighthouse Cove. In the middle of the week, today is a regular Tuesday. They have 30 RVs there at $79 per RV. You count that on a daily basis. Yesterday, they had 44. The summer hasn't started. They're right down the street, not even a mile away. And they're busy. Why is that? There's limited, in this case, today, we have limited hospitality attractions. Harbor probably didn't have the money, probably didn't have the development, whatever the case may be. And things have changed. Today, the world does not agree with outdated structures. If the infrastructure is outdated, people just drive by it and don't want to stop. I was given a report the other day that 1.9 million cars drive by here during the summer. 1.9 million, that's a lot of cars. And yet we see the results from the financials that very few people actually stop here and enjoy the RV park. Why is that? There's over 200 spaces. Even if you take out the 29 residents, it still leaves 192. It's a lot of spaces. They're not being used. Also, we see that people today act differently. If you look in front of each and every one of you, including myself, we each have a cell phone. Everybody uses the internet. Everybody wants to know what's going on, but it's according to the internet, what the internet says. I want to buy something on Amazon, whatever I want to do, I use the internet to find out. I look at the reviews. I look at how many people have purchased the same item, and that's how I make my decision. We see people today look for experiences. They're no longer traveling to a location. They're going there because they think it's going to make a difference to them. If it's not going to make that difference, then they're not going to go. And that difference is what they decide at the end of the day. It's what they, that will make that decision, make a difference or not for them. So if I know that I'm on a device somewhere, if I'm going to go, what are the questions? What do you think? Because we have to know the product, right? If you don't know who we're trying to attract, how will you attract them? We know for a fact, these are numbers, again, taken from, important and definitive statistics. In 24, California travel went up to 157 billion in 24. This is just months ago. Delano County had 161 million travel spending. How much of this did the harbor get? Now, those numbers are important for us because I mentioned an investment company. And of course, the investors that voted me in, been employed for 32 years in that same company, they want to know, Daniel, what are we going to do? How are we going to make more money? The money we gave you $1 million. We gave you $2 million. We just got $3 million deposited just less than a few months ago. I have $2.5 million coming in the next couple of weeks. What do we do with all these millions? I can't leave them in the bank. At 2-3%, they're not going to go for it. Our investors expect a much greater result. So what do we do with that? How do we get that? So there are questions, and the research tells us that. How do people choose where they want to go? Right? Because the harbor here today, what we're talking about is two RV parks. So the first question is, we know what we have. Okay, the place needs upgrading, fine. We know fixing pedestals, fine. We know all of that. Let's assume now we fixed that up. Let's assume the place is rentable, viable, accessible. Let's just assume that. How do we know who's coming to us? How do we find that out? Well, we know in specific order the questions that people ask throughout the world. The very first question all families ask, and there are today 13,000 parks, 13 RV parks, and 81 million people in this country travel to RV parks. Less than 56,000 people travel on a daily basis in an RV park. Amazing. Where are all these people? There's one thing which is so attractive to this location, that's the ocean. That no one can compete. Now you take that ocean and put the mountains on top of it, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. We knew this because we did our research before we invested, you know, $10 million in buying the property up the street. It's a lot of money. Could we get our money back? Well, you should know the very first question that people ask across the country is, where should we go? Families get together, so where should we go this summer? Where should we go for the weekend? The next question is, when we get there, what are we going to do? The third question is, what are we going to eat? Where are we going to sleep? And the last question is, how much does it cost? Now, you would think that most people think the other way around. How much money do we have? And then we decide where we're going to go. You know, people decide what they want to do. That's their wish. That's their will. That's a will. What I want to do, then I'll decide if I can afford it. Quite amazing. You think about it, that's quite a difference between most of the people that follow that way. And that shows us, from again, our company, on how we can increase our capital. So before we purchase any locations, we're in 45 states. Before we purchase any locations, the very first thing that I do is I sit down at my desk, I have a staff, computers, and I look at all the research. What does that city have? What are we attracted to? Again, will people come there? What kind of amenities? Answer to those questions. They said, what will they do there? What kind of amenities? Will there be food feelings? Those make a big difference. So I've prepared here 10 fundamental questions, 10 fundamental pillars of what will make a successful location. And by the way, this doesn't mean just here. It actually works all over the country. I made it a little more specific to this area because, interestingly enough, God only knows why, you have the ocean and the mountains. Incredible, absolutely incredible. It's a gem. There's nothing like it throughout the United States. You'll find the ocean, plenty of it, up and down the coast, east and west. You'll find plenty of trees and plenty of vacation homes that are up in the woods, and you'll find desert. But the two combination, almost non-existent. And this close to one another, quite incredible. So I know this research because we purchased the White Rock Resort. So the very first thing, I believe, in order to make a location practically viable, and certainly in a financial way, agreeable so that it makes more money, the very first thing, believe it or not, a company has to do is to make sure that there's a capital benefit to the city. Incredible, that's what it is. You first have to think, what will I bring to that city? Because if you do this, not only the commissioners board, not only the people, not only the attraction, everybody will work with you. And that's important. I have today, thank God, a very good relationship with not only all of the boards, but the permitting company, even the Coastal Commission, quite amazing. We've established ourselves with them so that we can work together. So the very first thing, there has to be not just an improvement, but a transformation. Makes a big difference. You just come in and put in a few homes and clean up the parking lot, it's great. Are the people going to come? Because without the people, you just have a pretty parking lot. That's it. So to take a young lady who's very attractive, put her a lot of makeup and put on a beautiful dress, does not make her a mannequin, does not make her someone who's going to be on the front page of all the magazines. She has to be advertised. And that's on any kind of sale. Imagine for a parking lot. You can put $100,000 worth of electricity in there. It's not going to make a difference. Are the people going to come? That's the first question. Second question, are they going to stay? Third question, are they going to spend money? Fourth question, will they come back? Fifth question, will they tell their friends? All these make up a sustainable practice that will take your business and grow it exponentially. To make 5%, 7%, with all due respect for us, it's a joke. It's not possible, not interesting. We just invest in Coca-Cola Company, will give us 7%. And across the board, we all know, all investors know that if they leave money long enough in the market, they'll get an average of 7%. Our return last year was 33%. 33%. Now we know this because our company is filed with the SEC, and therefore we have to report these numbers accurately. 33% is a lot of money. Not a lot of companies do that. We know it because of the investment we put into this concept. And that is the transformation in incremental improvements. Not something overnight, you come in and put in a lot of dust and things are going to change. You have to change the amenities, the experience, the year-round value, and these things have to make a difference. The only way we believe this is going to work is by putting quite a bit of money. So we're committing between $5 to $8 million. Money makes no difference to us. Why? We'll get our money back. Trust me. As much as I love for you to be successful, the very first thing, with all due respect, and honestly, to be transparent, I look at my return. Why? It's my job. My job. I'm not going to lose my job so that the harbor can make money. No, but I'm going to make more money for me, and I'll make more money for you. So $5 to $8 million is the minimum that we believe is necessary because, again, of the amenities that can be improved. So when we purchased the property up the road for multi-million dollars, we knew right off the bat we were going to put in quite a bit of money, even though the company was making money. White Rock Resort had been established 25 years ago. When we purchased it, we knew that we could change things around. So besides the fact that we put in $2 million down to buy it, and then on top of it, we have a huge mortgage. We knew all of this. We had calculated numbers. In the very first year alone, we spent over $250,000 in improvements because of the things that were needed. Not because of what we thought, because of the people coming in. What would they want? What would they like? We knew people wanted comfortable beds. So we spent over $10,000 in just improvements. All these things made a difference. Why does BSD make a difference is what we have. We have 3 decades of experience in what we do, a bit of the things. We went from 1,800 guests in 22 to 4,100 guests this past year. Like I said, a return of 33%. We then bought a second property, Pelican Beach Resort, which is opening up on June 1st, and then Nautica Beach Resort, another $10 million, $5 million property, which is starting up in September 1st. We have to be careful about these investments and how they come about and what they do. We know for a fact that there's going to be a lot of questions, a lot of, you know, changes. So we hired another company that says CGC. It's the largest consulting firm for RV parks. We have never operated an RV park. I'm not going to make up a story. Just going to tell you. We've never operated. We've operated parks, resorts, successfully, but not an RV park. So a lot of differences in RV parks. We're not going to take a chance, not investing $5 million, absolutely not. So we hired this company. They have over 500 parks, 50 years of experience. They're in 47 states. Because this, for it to be successful, it's not just a beautiful summer. It has to be successful all year round. You have to turn this into a year-round coastal destination. It makes a big difference, a lot of money difference as well. It can't be just something that might happen and might not happen, absolutely not. You have to do it properly, and you have to use marketing company. We use Vera Media. Company is very successful. They operate all of our locations nationwide. We spend quite a bit of money. In this case, it's about $15,000 a month. You have to be on all of the lists. Today, VRBO, Airbnb, all of these, to become super host, takes quite a bit of work, quite a bit of time. We're familiar with that. We've spent quite a bit of money ourselves to be in with them. We've taken full page ads. If you look at Dale Note magazine, you look at the Oregon magazine, all of them, you see full page ads from us. Every single one of them at a cost to $8,000 full page ad. Why? Again, marketing. Marketing is an extremely important component because, again, you can have the best part, but if nobody knows about it, how will they get here? How will they know what we have and what we have to offer? So those differences to us make a big difference, and it's a story that we have to keep over and over again. Someone that answers the telephone 24/7. We use AI in about 40% of all the issues that we do. We also expect big financial return. Like I said, our revenue last year was up 55% revenue, night books 22% up occupancy rate 23%. These numbers are calculated and they're well reported for one reason and one reason only. We put the city first. We know that if we improve the city will work with us. So I'll just tell you something. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it, but I'll tell you. We were not supposed to get permitted for another 6 months. I know somebody in the city. Lee Trumbull has been working with us. He's been our engineer for the last several years. Lee Trumbull, Riley Smith, the surveyor, people from the town, they placed a couple phone calls, and I received the call without mentioning the name, and our permits went up in less than a couple of hours, 6 months, and we just got the permits. If you know the people, if you work with us, it makes a difference. We are resellers for tiny homes, which are obviously they're known as park models. Our intent is to bring in 6, put in the front, high luxury park models, and increase the revenue. 10 in the back, which is the bay side, and then another 20 in the next approximately 12 to 14 months, depending on the disposition. If you don't prepare this to become like a village or a place that has attraction where people come at any given time, it's going to be vital. You will make money by just living it the way it is, but it will not make you a lot of money. It will not bring you a lot of return. It will not bring you the revenue that you can have if it's done properly. That's what we believe. And that's why it's important not only to work with the city, not only to transform this, but to change it from a summer residence to a full-time, all-year-round recreation park. And that will make a big difference. This will bring up more and more business. Over a period of time, there'll be more money being spent. We're going to spend to spend. We think it's going to be about $5 million. Speaking back and forth with the numbers that I was given from Sandy Moreno, whom we really appreciate. I want you to know some of the comments, and I think I need to mention this in two of the letters that I received from Sandy and what I received. My decision was not to work with the RV parks. I decided I'm out of here. Not worth it. Too many troubles, too many issues, too many things to do. And when she spoke with me and she described to me the details of what you have, I changed my mind that next day. And I went back to my board and I said, this is a very good option. This is a viable option and has tremendous potential. We're looking at least 27% return on our investment. $5 million, 27%. From that, we're proposing, of course, that you'll take a percentage plus $150,000 that you're requesting. I think you asked a little bit too less than you were supposed to. That you should have asked for more. I would have given it to you, but you didn't ask, so I'm not offering it anymore. It's just what it was. Just what it was, but we think it's reasonable. We're willing to work on an escalation because we know. Again, I have to make sure that we get our return back. 6-7%, not acceptable. 10%, not even viable. Nothing. It has to be at least a minimum of 18-22%. But we're looking here more in the upper 25%, 26%, 28%. It's a good option. It's a beautiful place, really is. The people around here are very kind. We live in Southern California, about an hour south of LA. People are a little more aggressive. The weather is beautiful. Things are a little different. When we come up here, my wife, Deborah, standing behind me, doing tremendous help in all that I do. We have a good time. We enjoy being here. We enjoy meeting the people. We enjoy the people we work with, whether it's been Lee Trumbull or any of the people in town. Everyone has been kind to us. Even though you hear all these infamous stories about the California Postal Commission, not us. We have two good friends over there. They know who we are. We talk to them on the first name basis. It's what we've got. So we've been very pleased. We look forward to working with you. Should we not work with you, I believe that you'll have a viable option, but it's going to take a lot of money, a lot of effort, a different vision, and a tremendous amount of management. I believe that. Because there's too many things that have been left off that have to be addressed one way or the other. 7 minutes is up. Almost took 6 hours, but
okay. Thank you.
Sure. I'll answer any questions if you have.
Anybody have a question? We're going to have public comment on his presentation. So maybe they have questions.
I'll go up and I just want to make sure if there's anyone else because I'd like to say a few things.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there's public comment on the Daniel Dahan proposal at this point in time. And he'll be here to answer questions.
Thank you very much.
The board evidently doesn't have any questions. I don't. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
I gave each one of you a packet. And I would like for you to review it. It's kind of important, and this is why. Those packets contain public records, the court documents. And in 2016, in California, Allstate Insurance Company versus Dahan found a 487 violations of insurance fraud and entered a judgment of over $7 million. In 2012, in New Jersey, in a related litigation involving the same business model, courts examined allegations that entities were structured to appear legitimate on paper while concealing actual control and financial benefit with judgments in the millions of dollars. That was about a $4 million case. And that was against the same people. It's today. Okay. Those are court records. That's not something that I made up. County records show that property known as White Rock is held in Mr. Dayham's name, yet there are indications he may still be financially involved through what is described as a loan arrangement. There's a private lender listed that Mr. Dayham is associated with. It's called, his name is J.C. Nani. J.C. Nani. There's an assignment of rents, and there was no record of reconveyance, which is meaning that you outright owe the property. So who actually owns and controls these assets? Where does the income come from to support the transactions? Because when someone seeks control over a public asset, you're required to look beyond the name on paper. This board has a duty to ensure full disclosure of beneficial ownership, transparency of financial arrangements, and verification of who actually is profiting. So with that in mind, I mean, he gave a great presentation, but these are concerning facts. So thank you.
Did you have a question for Daniel?
Oh, I just had a comment.
Okay.
I'm Roger Gitlin, and I'm troubled by this sales pitch. I'm troubled because the applicant has a long history of litigation. We're a small town. Mr. Dayham is telling us this can be a year-round community. We know that's against the tide. I'd like to see about being significant in a six-month period. There are also some other things that concern me that Mr. Dayham has met with Commissioner Schmidt over a period of time. I don't know the substance of the conversation, except it was never disclosed prior to this moment that there were discussions ongoing. I don't know if there's some kind of a quid pro quo going on with Mr. Commissioner Schmidt and Mr. Dayham. I'd like to find out before we move forward. We don't want another Lemus-type situation. This is a small park. Let's start with small steps first, rather than we're going to light up like Las Vegas. We have a commitment to find the right answer. For 18 months, we've been looking, still no option. Two applicants come forward, and Harbor itself also standing up, we can do this our own. Clearly, there's some problems here in attracting a suitable tenant. So look closely at how we're moving. Look closely at what we're doing. Don't jump in and buy the sizzle. Let's look at the stake. I would rather that the investment be made with projections of modest increases, that the sustainability, rather than you can be the top of the world here, because we know different. Know the history. Where were we when we had the Anchorage lot, which was a very viable lot, RV lot? It closed and was taken over by this very same Harbor Commission. $600,000 of your money went out to buy the Bayside, to buy out a lease. So you need to look at things and say, let's look at something that's reasonable, something that's controllable, and something that doesn't have surrounded by a lot of litigation. And move cautiously forward in finally selecting the right person, because for the last 18 months we have this awful eyesore looking forward. I'd like to see us make the right decision. I'd like to see us do it today, but I would rather you not look at sizzle, look at the steak itself. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And answer your question on that. We had a conversation with Dan Schmidt with our attorney present, and we came up with no conflict of interest.
There were no reports made to the public during those meetings. There was a concern
of Dan Schmidt might have a conflict of interest, what you're saying with Dr. Dan.
Yes.
Well, we had the discussion with our attorney, and there was no conflict of interest. But thank you for bringing that up. And I'll, Daniel, I'll give you 5 minutes when the comment's done to for your feedback.
Hi, it's Alicia Williams. I do have some actual questions for Mr. Dahan. So the first one was, where are the bank statements of the investment, millions of dollars of investments that you say that you already have? I wanted to know more about what they've done at that resort, the White Rock Resort, since I guess they purchased it, I think he said in 2022. More specifically, he said they spent over $250,000, but he didn't say anything other than mattresses. So I wanted to know more about what he's done over there. What was the advertising firm that he was saying they used? Because I didn't catch that. Other than having six tiny homes along with RVs, what other improvements do you guys have in mind? Because you didn't specify. And then what are the reasons for your litigations? If you could kind of give us an idea of why you've been in a lot of litigation, that would be good.
Go ahead, Daniel. I think, yeah.
Thank you very much. I'll address all these questions. First of all, you have to understand that as a physician for 10 years, I opened up two very successful clinics in Southern California. Part of that, this was doing very well. Within less than a few years, we proliferated hundreds of offices up to 1,256 locations, 45 states. There is no way, no possible way you can become this big and not be attacked. Not possible. Just the way it goes. Being the CEO of the company and having 1,200 offices in 45 states, you're bound to be attacked. Everybody's been attacked. As a matter of fact, Walmart, in spite of their success in the year 2000, you can look it up on Google, they had in 1 year alone 4,551 lawsuits. That's a lawsuit every 2 hours. That's Walmart. What could they have done wrong? If you grow and you become big, you're bound to be attacked. A farmer plants a seed into his farm. And he hopes and pray that next year he's going to have a harvest. Irrespective of what he does, the good of that farm is going to be attacked. All goods will be attacked, irrespective of what they are in what fields. You couldn't become as big as I have and not be attacked. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. My parents live in France. I called my father, my country of origin. I called my father, said, Papa, I got sued. First word he said, congratulations. I said, Papa, you didn't understand. I got sued. He said, let me tell you something. If you got sued, it's one of three reasons. Either you are a dummy, a fraud, or very successful. Now, I know you as my son. You're certainly not a dummy. I know you would not do fraud. You must be very successful. And indeed, I was very successful. And we invested while I was, you know, practicing and consulting with offices throughout the country, traveled throughout the country, and making all of this work and happened to be very, very prolific, meaning, you know, grew exponentially. We decided to open up BSD Property Management. It's been existing over 32 years and developing properties nationwide. Several years ago, we saw that the current market was changing and we decided, let's change that. Let's go into the hospitality business. And that's what we did. In answer to the question about the loan agreement, there is no loan agreement. And I apologize if you had made erroneous search, but I want you to know that the property belongs to BSD Property Management, of which I am the managing director, and there is no other option. That's what it is. You can look it up, but you have to look it up properly. It's just, you know, and if after this meeting you want to look some of the paperwork, there's no other investment, there's no other, you know, entity or anything else like this. It doesn't even exist. As far as my meetings, I think with Mr. Schmidt, it was addressed, but I want you to know it had nothing to do with this at all. We discussed other issues that were totally unrelated to this. Didn't even know about anything about that. In regards to the bank statement, you're welcome to look at our bank statements. And we can make those available, especially for expenses or things of what we've done. What did we do? We changed all at the, this is at the White Rock Resort. We changed all of the pedestals, each and every one of them. at the cost of $4,900 a piece. There's 27 of them. We also upgraded all of the cables and all the underground electricity. We upgraded all of the beddings and all of the dispensers that we have throughout the location. There are 27 homes, you know, spread out over 4 acres. In those 4 acres, there are plenty of things to be done. The escalation that leads straight to the beach, which is a private beach, we own the private beach. We had to make sure that the steps were redone. All of this cost quite a bit of money. The improvements, we brought in staff, and we changed all of the amenities when it comes to the services that we give to the beach. We spent over $15,000 in expenses on a monthly basis for marketing. We redid the roof on several of the buildings. We upgraded the heating units, which cost each $3,000. So a lot of expenses. Things to make it better, more pleasant for the clients, for the guests to come in and be there at any given time. The $250,000 is nothing. When you upgrade an amenity, it's a drop in the bucket for what you're trying to get. But again, our results show it. Last year, we had 33% return on our money. So it makes a big difference. It does have that. The ad firm is called Attitude Marketing. Attitude Marketing, Variable Media, two separate firms that are co-joined. And they are extremely, extremely successful in developing business protocols throughout the country. This is what they do. The other improvements that we did over for the things that we did was simply because of the type of advancement. When you join the RBO, Airbnb, they test you. To become a super host, you have to have a certain amount of reservations. We, having so many reservations, it upboosts our numbers. Once you do that, they give you two options. Either they pay for your own advertising or they give you a discount on new updates. We chose to take the new advertising and our numbers grew. The fees to VRBO and Airbnb have quadrupled because of the amount of guests that we have. As far as the TOT is concerned, even the local TOT, when we came in, the TOT to that location was less than $4,700. Today, we pay over $75,000. TOT is just a tax. For that tax to be paid, we have to collect it. So there's no doubt that our numbers have gone up. We can prove that. We can see it. But I don't want you to focus so much on what we've done in the past. I think you have to focus so much on what your needs are, not mine. Mine are very simple. We invest money, we want our return. But it has to be done in a way that configures the benefits of all parties involved. Otherwise, you can have the best contract in the world, but if the two parties can't communicate, if they're not good at each other, it's just two people. That's all it is. Question is, can we make a difference? And if that makes a difference, what will it do? Part of the things that we believe need to happen is the configuration of bringing in these tiny homes. Tiny homes are not so simple. First of all, they're expensive. We're resellers for Kafco Company, that are the largest producers of park models in the country, in Phoenix, Arizona. We were there a couple of weeks ago. We have partnership with them. We get these homes, top of the line homes, with all the configurations. We believe there has to be some of them because the daily accommodations in an RV park are not enough to suggest money to be coming on a regular basis. Plus, instead of just attracting people that come in with an RV, you're not going to attract people that come in with their cars. That makes a big difference. Another issue which I think is important to remember, and that is if this harbor becomes, quote, a village, if it becomes attractive, if it brings in people that can come in and get all types of amenities, our guests, the 4,100 guests we brought in last year, will drive down the 18 miles to come here and enjoy it. We're not looking just at what you can do. We're looking at what we all benefit. So it's not just the RV park, how can they grow? It's how all of the businesses that are working together will benefit. Tomorrow, the summit of the Chamber of Commerce locally is having a summit. I'm speaking at the summit. I was asked to speak there and showing the success that we've had. I'm not going to say that I'm proud about the success. I am extremely comfortable with the successes that we have because of what we've done. And you may say, well, how did they get there? They didn't get there overnight. I've been in the position for 10 years and I practiced for over 10 years. But yet, in this business of developing properties, it's over 32 years. A lot of work. This is not all my money. This is money from all of the investors that we have. This is filed. This is not money that I can just collect. I can call tomorrow and raise $5 million in less than 5 hours. That's true, because of the connections we have. But what we do with the $5 million will make a big difference. If you think for one second I will take a chance either with myself, my family, or my business, I will never do that. So the question is that you ask, how is it possible that we got litigated? Again, first and foremost, if you become this big, you're about to be sued. You're about to be hit. Just the way it goes. Just the way the system works. On the other hand, and partly because of the things that happened, what was the reason? Well, you have a lot of staff. Controlling over 1,256 cyclists, 1,256 clinics, huge clinics, all over the country. Gregory, South Dakota, 800 people there. Joplin, Missouri, less than 1,400 people. We're talking about little places that don't have centers. You open up a center over there, that's a lot of staff, all of my staff. I can't control all of my staff. It's not possible. Staff make mistakes. These mistakes, unfortunately, end up, like it was said by one of the president, the buck stops here. There's an issue. I take the blame. I took the blame. Simple as that. But which company? One company, by the way. Allstate, one company. By the way, it's not just New Jersey and New York. New Jersey and California. No, they also sued me in North Carolina, except we beat them. And by the way, the case in New York, the case in New Jersey, if you look it up, it went all the way to the Supreme Court of New York. And by the way, we won. So we didn't lose. You have to understand who you're dealing with here. Allstate is a multi-billion dollar company. I mean, it's irrelevant how big I am. Starting 1,200 clinics versus a multi-billion dollar huge company that has tremendous power and connections, as much money as they want. My staff makes a mistake, I take responsibility. I'm not going to blame it on them. But that's what happens when you become this big. You're going to have somewhere along the line, somebody's going to make a mistake, and it's going to end up in a lawsuit.
Thank you. Thank you. And one more thing I noticed, that was, I believe you asked just five cabins, but I believe he said that an addition of five more behind it and then 10 more, and 10 more would be that the overflow lot? Or that was one of your questions, right? Was how many cabins?
Be about 20 overall.
It's 26 if you look at all the cabins total. Okay. Question is the timing.
Thank you very much. Is there any more public comments?
I heard a great sales pitch. I'm not sure that I buy all of it. I see a lot of ifs in the statements. And in order for ifs to become reality, sometimes that's not always the case. I think we need to get over the fact that he got burned pretty badly with Mr. Lemus. I don't know whether this is the way you want to go. I'm not sold on the idea that this is a year-round business that is of the nature that fills the park up every day. It just doesn't seem to be particularly realistic. When you say you need amenities for the people that live in the park in order for them to stay here, that's a pretty big lift in Delaware County. We may have mountains and ocean, but again, mountains and oceans aren't amenities. They're simply something to look at. And a lot of people, as I heard, drive through the Crescent City area and look at the mountains and look at the amenities with regards to what there is to do, and then look at the ocean and then continue to drive on north or south. So when you approach this as a viable means of income, you have to weigh all the factors in. And the idea that we compete with Oregon in a lot of respects for visitors needs to be a major factor in your deliberations. And the fact that very often people don't stop here because there's a much more viable option a short distance to the north. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Quick comment, unrelated to what's going on. Wish you well, but we had to schedule today a tour under the project manager RFP proposal. So some of us will be stepping out right now. We're going to take the tour for respondents. potential respondents to the RFP. And wish you well for the rest of your meeting and good luck today.
Thank you very much, Mike. Right. Yeah. Thank you for what you do. Any other public comments?
I just want to make a quick comment. I think that the notion that success breeds lawsuits, and therefore that's some kind of badge of honor, is a very flawed excuse. I think if the court has found a judgment against you, then they obviously believe that there was some form of wrongdoing, and that's the fact that lies here. Thank you.
Any other public comment on the Dayhan proposal? Any like last 1 minute, 2 minute comments, or you done, Daniel?
We should look forward to good news for you and wish you all the best.
Thank you. With that, then no more on the screen public comment. We're going to move on to the commercial lease non-binding term sheet from Crescent City Holdings, that's Scott Lahan and Daniel and John. So we just got that today. Just sent to us. Did everybody get a copy and got a chance to look at the proposal they just gave out today? So I give you your 15 minutes to comment on that if you'd like.
Can we get confirmation on what this handout was? If you might remember, this one didn't have somebody's name at the top, so we're not sure who this refers to.
I wrote down Crescent City Holdings.
This one that you had delivered,
yeah.
Waited on people to deliver.
Yeah, the one that doesn't have a business name is the one for PST property manager.
So I didn't get that one. Oh,
the one that says
April 7th up at the top. Yeah. This is PST.
Yes. I'm not sure the answer is this.
Sorry, they get sent it in kind of late, but
yeah.
Anyways, if you'd like to go over,
I'll just give you a quick comment. Yeah, so you want to come back? Yeah, we began our discussions with the district some 18 months ago. We did our public presentation back in 2025, late 2025. Since that time, I think we've made a lot of compromises with the board. We've gotten a lot of suggestions back from them, a lot of feedback. We tried to incorporate that into our proposals. We went through the RFP process with the board. We've kind of participated in everything that they've asked us to do. And so here we are today, hoping to kind of finalize things and get an approval to move forward. This is the latest term sheet based on discussions and feedback we've received from the board. I don't think it's completely finalized. I'm sure there's a few items here that still need to be discussed. But these were our latest terms that we proposed to them based on what we feel was a very reasonable, grounded basis in facts of historical patterns. And what we believe is a conservative and moderate approach to bringing these RV parks back to life, to improving them, and not only for us to be successful, but for the board to be successful. It doesn't help anyone if we fail. So we have to form a partnership with the board and with the harbor so that we all can grow together. There was a supplemental proposal we submitted, Michael, I think was maybe 2 months ago, that it kind of included an expansion of the ideas, and this came from some of the feedback from the board. So we, as well as Mr. Dayhan, have included park model RV homes into our proposal. Our initial proposal included 5 with a growth of up to 35 over the first 3 years of park model homes. Again, that hasn't been done here. We don't know the success rate of that. So our initial approach was to start with 5. We believe that's probably going to be super successful because most of the hotels here during the summer tend to have a high occupancy. And we think a park model RV, which is basically like a tiny home or cabin, it's going to be a pretty nice alternative to someone wanting to come and stay in the area. We also included a proposal for development of the overflow lot that's across the street from Redwood Harbor Village at the moment. And what we're looking to do there, we need to create some activity. We need to get people to come into the harbor. So we developed a proposal. We sent in quite a few drawings and schematics on how we envision that looking with food trucks and retail activities. And just things to get people involved in the harbor. So we, in our initial proposal, we had talked about, educational activities, sailing camps for kids, fishing opportunities, things like that. So that space will now kind of be the area to encompass all that and be the focus for those kind of activities. So those are the latest things we've done. This was the term sheet that we were even still negotiating through yesterday evening with some of this. So this is the latest as of yesterday evening. with what we thought the board was looking for and what we thought was a fair compromise to both parties.
We thank you very much for submitting this. So is there a public comment on the Penn City Holdings proposal?
Is there a chance we can read this proposal before you?
Yeah, okay, let's do that then. We'll shift from there. And the third proposal is a self-run proposal where we take over the property. Commissioner Niemer has done a tremendous amount of work, and it's been fabulous. And with Sandy, the numbers with Sandy, she put a lot of time into this and developed a concept of us continuing to run the park as the, you know, with Crescent City. And there was a talk of a partnership with a manage somebody to manage it for us, so that the actual harbor isn't responsible for maintenance and stuff like that, because we're just so short staffed that it's a problem with that. So it's a concept that she's done a lot of work on. If she'd like to speak on it, or Sandy, or anybody, but those numbers were given to you in your packet, wasn't there, on the agenda? I got it. I got mine in my agenda. So, is there a public comment on the self?
Can you scroll and show the slides, please? I'm not going to send.
Okay, so then
which ones do you?
Well, go ahead. Sorry, Linda. Let her make her a presentation.
That would be fine.
Unfortunately, there's a IT issue with Christina's account, and it's affecting my account too, so I can't
put all the screen. Up.
Yeah.
So I generated several numbers. One of them was back in December of 24. I requested profit and loss statements for the Bayside and RHB to figure out what our potential was for the parks. And with that number, it was in the packet online. So if you are curious, please access your phones at the moment to pull them up, to access them. So it showed the net profit, and then I also did it out in percentage. Today, that percentage isn't on here, but it comes out to 42% profit. Now, there's many questions about whether that profit's legitimate, if all of our expenses were included in that, but you can hear that there's significant upside to these parks. If there's 27% for somebody else to invest in it, maybe 42% might be kind of accurate. Then we received information from Ms. Moreno with the current numbers that she has. Those validate those numbers. They're very, very close. In addition, I reanalyzed it, and in all those profitable years, we paid someone payroll to manage those parks. That's how they were so successful. They weren't just managed from this office. There was somebody paid to do this. I don't know all the ins and outs. I wasn't over there. I do know we spent an incredible amount of money to buy them out. Ms. Moreno also provided the net profit for the leases. So if you compare the lease net profit to our net profit, it is very clear that we generate more income operating these ourselves than historical leases. So if you bring that forward, the one that's not online is the one Mr. Rademacher was offering to show.
It's on the podium too, if anybody wants a copy, but it looks like this. You haven't seen this yet.
It's on the podium, yeah. So it has a couple highlighted spots on it. And so this is what I would have liked as a board member before we ever considered leases, is it beneficial for us to lease these parks out? Can somebody else generate an equal amount of revenue without us having to do the work, or something comparable? And so I took 100 sites at each place just to make it an even number. I spread it over our current 10% occupancy. We do nothing over there, and we have 10% occupancy versus 35%, which should be sustainable. And my understanding with the Airbnb market in our community is it's about 55% occupancy year round. And so I have all those in the spreadsheet. Then there's the ability to explore the coast overnight as a grant through Coastal Conservancy. It's been around since 2019. There's $30 million awarded. There's still $11 million in this fund. Lighthouse Cove was awarded $835,000 to the city in 2024. Clifford Camp was awarded $226,000 just to renovate through Coastal Conservancy's Explore the Coast overnight. So I would postulate that we could petition or apply for a grant to $1 to $3 million to keep these parks in public hands to renovate them. That's not $5 million, but $1 to $3 million in public grant money to access. I know that takes work. It takes a team of I can do. It will, clearly in the past, we had someone on payroll managing those parks. So we would have to do that again in order to make this achievable. But there is a concept, and those parks have been highly successful, which is why there are two candidates here today. I'm surprised more people didn't come forward. It is a cash cow out there if it's managed correctly. We just need to create that management. And finally, as a board member, the bottom line is we need $550,000 a year to pay off, to break even. That's our deficit right now. So can we generate $550,000 running the park ourselves? Or can somebody else generate $550,000 a year running those parks? And how do those numbers come into play with us being successful? That's the bottom line. And in my opinion, it is us doing it if we come up with a can-do plan and we're willing to move forward. Unfortunately, when the Alex Lemus thing happened, it just created this wall, this block. And if we are unable to push through that, we don't have an option. We're being forced to lease these out. We're unwilling to do it. So I don't know. Can we do it? I think so. Do the numbers say we can do it? Well, an occupancy of 35% with a net profit of 25%, that's $316,000 we could generate. If we rent lease it out with 12% back return, we can only generate $168,000. So if we lease this out and we do a great job, we get full value. If we lease it out, if we have potential investors, we're looking at half the profit, but none of the work.
My comment on that is one of the parks we just discontinued the lease, so we didn't spend any money. And the other one, I negotiated the terms with it, and it was $400,000 and not $600,000. I did it on a basis that that park was making about $150,000 a year. And if we bought him out $100,000 a year, that the harbor would profit $50,000 a year, which we think we did over the 4-year period of time that we paid that lease off. So that clears up that concept of the lease and the ton of money and whatnot. So, but is there are you done, Ann? Is there any public comment on the okay? Boy, they're standing up all over.
Let's go ahead. I'll go last.
Hi, it's Alicia. So my question is, like, did you guys look at how much it would cost for the management? Because you're saying keep it, you know, in your as ownership, but you would hire someone to do the management services. So that part, I wasn't clear if you guys crunched numbers on how much that would cost. Because if you're saying that it would literally double our money, and obviously we have money there that could go easily to somebody to manage it, right? So, and then off of that, maybe Crescent City Holdings would want to manage it, depending on how much you would pay for that, because I think that they might be a good candidate for that. So that was kind of all the comments I had.
Thank you.
I crunched most of these numbers off of the data I was given because I needed to figure out what the break even is. Can we generate 550,000, or how do we do that to have a zero budget? How do we do that to function every year? And if we can't do it through this, then how much is left over for generating revenue elsewhere in the harbor? As far as the payroll component, the payroll spread out over both RV parks, and just ballpark off the top of my head, it was somewhere $60,000-$70,000 range. I can look through the paperwork. Sandy may also be able to comment on that. Except in the year 2022, there was an additional professional fees of $52,000, and that's all included in the net profit at 42%. So that's what the payroll was, you're asking.
So that sounds like it was over $100,000
for the 1 year. For the other years, we're looking at $60,000 or $70,000.
Hey, Linda.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I think Annie, you did a great job. You got great ideas and everything, but we've been sitting here for 2 years. The harbor's broke. Nobody has management skills here. You need to have the best option I've heard today was Sean and Scott. They come in and they take over and get it going. Not 10 years from now, but whenever you sign the lease, because there's such incompetence here that you need an outside person to come in and get this going. And yeah, you'll make half the money, but you're gonna make some money. You might make even more than what you expected. But I would highly recommend. You don't have money to do any improvements. You don't have the skills here. You have incompetent people working here that can't seem to manage even our bank accounts. And you want to get excited about doing it yourself. If you could have done it yourself, you would have already been doing it yourself, and you haven't. It's empty for 2 years now. Under Mr. Rademacher's watch. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Find myself in uncomfortable agreement with Miss Sutter. A moment of reflection. But what does come up to today? What comes out to my mind is
not April 1st.
It's not April 1st. May 1st. Is why now? We've been struggling with this harbor and these two parks for years. And the record, with all due respect to all of you who want to make this something different, the record of Harbor Commission involvement in the in self-management has been somewhat less than abysmal. And now we can do this and we can do this and we can get this grant, we can get that grant. And for 18 months, we've looked at two eyesores and getting worse. So I can't support self-management, not at this point. I don't think you're loaded with money. You can make the kind of investment you need to do. You're going to have to borrow from Peter to pay Paul to do that. I'm wanting to hear that there's the right fit for the right glove. And I find myself in agreement that Scott and Sean's proposal makes a lot of sense to me. First of all, that they're small, but they're energetic, and you can reach them. We're not part of some national chain. Well, all due respect to Mr. Dayhan, he's built a wonderful company, but this is the significance you have in his on his portfolio. You're a dot as compared to all the things he does nationally. I don't like that fit. I like someone I can talk to, a commissioner, and say, let's talk to this guy and let's get Scott and Sean on the phone and have them fix this without the bureaucracy, without the red tape. So no thank you to self-management. I think that ship has sailed. And I think we've got the right party with regard to a smaller entity with more realistic goals and that we can reach, and we can enjoy a success that we have not enjoyed for upwards of 2 years. And hopefully the sooner the better. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Either one of these proposals go into effect May 1st. May 1st. That's why we're deciding today.
So I feel like I want to ask for 6 minutes so I can have 3 minutes as my personal opinion and 3 minutes as my fiscal manager presentation. So I'll give whatever you take me. I think I'll be kind of quick. First of all, negative nannies, we're going to have them forever. These haven't sat empty because we wanted them to sit empty for the last year and a half. I've been here a year. I have 40 years experience of business management, turning companies around, helping them go through insolvency. Startups, all of that stuff. Daniel Dayhan's not telling us anything new that we don't know about how to start a company, right? You have a good price, you have a good product, you have good customer service. You do those three things, you're going to have a successful business. There's nothing stopping us from doing that over there at the RV parks. Why haven't we done it? Well, because when I came in, we had Sean and Scott here, and we were going to jump right into that. And I wasn't going to spend any time on RV parks. We were going to jump right in and do it with them. But then all of a sudden, we had to do an RFP process. So it took us 6 months. So it's not that we're mismanaging or anything here. It's that we had a planned attack on here's how we address that. Not to mention that we had other things we were trying to go through, right? You just brought on a new fiscal person. We had to figure out what our budget was going to be for the year. We got hit with a tsunami. Then we started getting in our RV. The RFP, and we're starting to bring all this together. We had some negative nanny stuff going on for a bunch of months there. We had to get our year in and our financials done. We've had a lot going on here, and we're doing a damn good job at doing it. So no negative nanny here. We did due diligence. Anybody wants to wonder, we did full because we don't want to get caught in the Lima stuff. You guys all know we've done our due diligence on both of these parties. We know exactly what we're getting, and that's why they're both still here. We have spent a lot of money on vision plans and studying what needs to happen in our harbor to make us successful. It has clearly told us after three vision plan studies that you have to have four prongs. You've got your commercial fishermen, you got your recreational fishermen, you've got your RV park. Your fourth one needs to be tourism. You have to be year round. It can't just be an RV park. Both of these people are talking about bringing in that year round. Make no mistake about it. I put together a budget. You guys saw my budget in there. I feel very good about it. The numbers that you took and did all your analysis on. The reason why I didn't do a summary like you did is because I didn't have faith in them. Those are the audited numbers. Those are what the financials were. But I didn't do those financials. And I can look at them and tell there's a lot of inconsistencies. You want to know where the money went? $600,000 is what we paid for those leases, not $400,000. I think I just did the audit and I feel like I just went through something that makes me feel $600,000 for that lease. Maybe I'm wrong, but just want to say that's what's in my mind.
Well, it was 4 years ago. So 4 years left on the lease. We paid him $100,000 a year.
Perhaps. Something says $600,000 to me, so I just want to point it out that that may be an incorrect number, or you. But the vision plan is what's important because I fully support you guys doing it yourself because I know because I've done budgets. All right. I used to work with the SBDC and work with companies and I'm really good at budgets. And though Sean and Scott, I agree with you 100% that my income is probably way overstated. I'm aspirational.
75%.
Yeah. Yeah. But anything I do is going to be better.
Big number.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I was going to bring the dollar down to $35 per space.
Yeah.
And I was going to bring really good people. Bring in a property manager and bring in really good camp hosts that are excellent at customer service. And everything we do only goes up because we can't get any worse, right? So the difference, though, is we need a boardwalk. We need the fourth prong. And you can't get a fourth prong by us doing the RV parks. So what these two people bring to us is the boardwalk will come. And I know all of us who lived here forever, there's this competing thing about we don't want to become a Santa Barbara or a Santa Cruz or whatever. We want to stay small, blah, blah, blah. But you can't, it is known. You will not succeed in a sustainable harbor if you don't have the fourth prong. So therefore you have to have it. And that means you have to have year round. My understanding, Rick will tell us, the place up in Washington that has little camel, these cabins, and year round, they're fully occupied, right? Yep. Isn't that the example you give me all the time? I don't have that experience, but you're not the only person that's told me that. So clearly, that's what we need to have happen, whether we like it or not. Now, the only thing difference that I see is who's got the money to do it. So did the due diligence a long time ago and let Dayhan know we knew. But he's got the money, and he can probably do the boardwalk better. So that would be my final analysis, but you guys have to make the decision.
No disrespect to anybody that's made a presentation today, but I have some concerns with regards to the harbor running the RV parks themselves, in that you're not always going to have a harbor master that's the same one. You're not always going to have a fiscal manager that's the same one. you're not going to have continuity on the board. There'll be different board members over the over the period of time. When you have a successful business, generally speaking, the people that are running it have a personal stake in the success of the business. And that's critical when it comes to whether or not a business is successful. A government agency, such as a harbor, doesn't have that personal stake. And not only doesn't have that personal stake, but it may change from year to year. And it dramatically affects the ability to manage something such as an RV. You have to take that into consideration, as well as the fact that you don't have the money right now in hand to make the transition from what's there to what is viable in business. And you're going to have to depend on whether or not you can get grants to fund that, which has not been factored into the profit sustainability of this Crescent City Harbor run situation. Now, I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm not saying it can't be successful, but you need to take into consideration that most government-run facilities don't generally work within their projected income. They generally are required to seek funding outside that revenue in order to be sustainable. I mean, there are dozens of examples of that throughout the county where the city has tried to manage the Crescent City pool, and it cost them $600,000 of taxpayer money in order to keep that a viable institution. It could be profitable as a private enterprise situation where somebody has a personal stake in it, but that's not the way the city's chosen to handle that. There are other examples throughout the county that also have required massive injections of funding in order to be sustainable. And I'm not saying that a private enterprise is going to be immediately successful. I'm not saying that it's going to be successful from now into the future, but they are going to have the one thing that a government agency doesn't have. That's a consistency of leadership and management through an extended period of time. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a point. Well, thank you. Okay, rebuttal, you bet.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, I realize I'm a competitor, so I certainly mean the disrespect to Sandy or to Commissioner Niemer. I've seen some of the information behind these numbers, and I know to come up with this overall occupancy percentage, you have to have some really high summer months. And the numbers I've seen are just a little bit, I would say, overly ambitious from historical patterns. You're talking about like an instant, like, overnight success rate that we're suddenly going to be 75% full. And right now there's actually not a single person in Redwood Harbor, and there hasn't been a single person there in the last 3 nights. How do you go from nothing to an instant 75% with no changes? So you got to spend money. You got to improve things. You got to advertise. So you got to come up with money for that, which I don't think is readily available at the moment. I love the thought of this grant idea. I think that would be phenomenal if that could happen. But we know the reality of grants is there's an application process, there's time, and those typically come with the restriction of you spend the money and they'll reimburse you. So you got to find the money first. So I just don't think that this is probably the best solution at this point for the harbor. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
May I make a comment on the Crescent City Holdings? Which
this is so important to us that I want to hear from everybody. So could you make a very short, Sam?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
I took the opportunity to read the fact sheet on Crescent City Holdings.
We're going to go back to that. We're on the self-done. Okay, but thank you there.
I get a couple minutes to...
Sure. You get, yeah.
So thank you for all the comment. I'm very aware that unfortunately the harbor is not positioned to successfully run these RV parks. We've proved that over the last year and a half. What I was trying to point out is at the very bottom, we have a chunk of money we have to generate, $550,000. What can these two potential candidates do? And what could we do? We could do it if we had the wherewithal. We've proven we don't. I've spent an insane amount of time trying to get them online.
well, it speaks for itself. So I feel like we are backed into a corner as a board to have to make a decision in order to move forward. But unfortunately, that is where we're at. But there are opportunities on the table. It does exist. It's just that there's not a willingness to drive that forward. But also, these numbers are, and what I'm hoping the board sees, this is what should have been projected to us before any of this happened. This is information the board needs in order to make an educated decision. And now, knowing that at 35%, you know, you guys are going to bring in 170 grand a year if we're lucky. So we're short $380,000. Where does it come from?
That was brought up in closed session. It was a very good point. A very good point. Is there any other public comment?
I just want to do a clarification for Scott and Sean. Yes, the last 2 years don't have that, but prior to Lena's leaving, the numbers were there. So
it was.
Can I ask you a question? So in the Lena's years, my understanding that the parks were a completely different sort of animal. They were a 1 year long term lease park, and that's no longer allowed. So that would have generated a lot easier revenue and a lot more revenue under those kind of terms. Because you could have a full park, but you give someone a 1 year lease. But we're no longer allowed to do that under constraints from agreements between the board and the Harbor Commission, the Coastal Commission. So we have to look at more of a recreational pattern and a transient pattern rather than a long term revenue from a 1 year lease model. And that's a completely different game.
I agree.
You're not apples to apples at all. Because it was not a transient park.
Okay, so this is is it pertaining to the self-run RV parks?
Well, because I'm just asking, is this why the tiny homes is a thing being discussed? Because that is a longer.
Yeah, so the tiny homes fall in a unique, well, if I shouldn't call them tiny homes, I'll use the right word, they're park model homes.
Because
they fall in a unique classification. As a park model home, it falls under RV rules and laws for the state of California. So we are allowed to have those in the park because they're not considered a permitted structure. Yeah, they're considered an RV. And that's what allows us to use that and still comply with the Coastal Commission's requirements.
And then can you do 1 year leases on those?
You cannot do a 1 year lease. A tenant officially is not allowed to stay more than 28 days.
Yeah,
they have to vacate the premise, yeah, within 28 days.
Like the TO if it's over 30 days.
Correct. And same for like an RV person saying they're not allowed to stay more than 28 days in a space.
Thank you.
Okay, cool. Any more comment on the self-ran RV parks? Nobody online either? Okay, then we will go back to Sean and Scott's presentation of Crescent City Holdings. You had time to read it, Sam, and yes, yeah, you want to give that public comment now, yeah.
Briefly, you've heard my comments about both other proposals. I had an opportunity to read the proposal by Crescent City Holdings and find it relatively streamlined, relatively uncomplicated, pretty easy to digest. I don't know whether I have any more faith in the presentation than the previous one that was provided by a private enterprise, but I feel it's something that the harbor perhaps can tolerate, and there appears to be a number of ways that both parties can, you know, remove themselves fairly quickly and easily from the proposal. And this is probably a major step forward in that you're not locked into something for necessarily long term. Either party is not necessarily locked in. So if something's not working, you can shift gears relatively easily and move on. Something that I don't see in the other proposal particularly. So if I were making a choice, which I would be reluctant to do so at this point, I feel that this proposal by CC Holdings is probably your best opportunity to generate a permanent income, at least. It may not be what you wish or expect, but it has a greater potential because of the dynamic of people having a personal interest in the success or failure. And the interest is to make sure that you maximize your revenue from that park, and correspondingly, the harbor would actually benefit from that. So you wouldn't necessarily be restricted to the minimum return on your investment. You may do much better, you may do much worse, but it would be very important for the people that are holding the lease to do much better. Very important. And in order to be a successful business, that's probably a pretty significant criteria for that particular proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more public comment on the Crescent City Holdings proposal?
My name is Dave Garcia. I live in the county. I'm the business that wanted to come in and operate and manage one of our RV parks would be putting their own reputation on the line, and they'd have a vested interest in making it competitive and a success. And as our mission statement says, we need to be sustainable. We are not being sustainable now. Even if we were to manage it ourselves, we potentially may get the 500,000, but no guarantee there. I'm guessing probably not. But bringing on somebody from the outside who has energy and enthusiasm can create momentum. Because what we really need at the end of the day is to fulfill that vision of having the fourth element, which brings year-round tourism. And we can do that if we bring excitement and something that's successful here in the harbor. I believe an outside agent or business interest could do that. I hear a lot of concern that we are a rural county and we don't want to become too urbanized. Yes, we are a rural county. I believe Gunnar County is over 1,000 square miles. Take just this area here. Very generously, I'd say a half of a square mile that is already urbanized. So that's like 1/20th of 1% of the entire county that's already urbanized. And so we could definitely keep it from going into blight, which if we're not sustainable, that's the way it goes. Somewhere between blight and just rampant overdevelopment, because that's the scale. We don't really want either one. Some stage of deterioration, we don't want that either, because that's a low sustainment. Basic improvements, yeah, but why not go for something reasonable, some reasonable development? And I think that's the sweet spot. If we can achieve that, if you guys potential on your road to reaching that sustainability and gaining the momentum and potential investment interest going forward to reach that fourth element where we have a boardwalk and year-round tourism, excitement that people want to come and visit. And come again, and potentially stay in a really nice RV park. So we can reach that sweet spot, which is reasonable development. I think Crescent City Holdings is going to be our best chance to do that.
Thank you very much. Any other comment?
Okay, so it's Alicia again. I'm a little confused. It's kind of, it's not quite apples to apples, so it's a little bit odd. So, but there's a couple questions. So on the $2 million for Crescent City Holdings, it's not saying specifically, or at least I'm not seeing like a timeline of when they're going to be investing the money or what the main plans of investment are. I mean, I know it's going to be like, I think I've heard about obviously the parking lot and the park model homes, right? But other than that, I don't really know anything more for like, except for what Sandy said, but not what Crescent City Holdings said about like a boardwalk type thing. And then something that stood out is where it says assignment/subletting. It's talking about there being an addition. It looks like what it's saying is there's an additional 12% growth. Let's see. Landlord to receive an additional rent 12% of the subtenant gross sales, which shall not be included as part of the tenant gross sales. So that would be like on top of the 12% that it's saying we would get. So does that mean they're planning on subletting and that would double the percentage to the harbor? Because if so, that's good. And then I'm noticing that they have 12% versus Dayhand's 8%. I'm also noticing in Dayhan's, it's claiming that they're going to invest 5 million, but it clearly states 2 million within the first 3 years or something. So really, it's not a lot of more investment. What could happen in 3 years? They might leave or something. That's the other point I want to make is, yes, there might be turnover with staff at the harbor, and that happens everywhere, but it clearly states in these agreements that these people could also change hands with who's in charge. And so it's kind of not a thing. And then the last thing for the self management, it's clearly saying we would have someone separately manage these and we would pay them. And then that would give us a huge more profit, and we're really needed that more profit. And so my question is, because of the conservancy grant, which there's probably other grants, that one's 1 to 3 million. So we're talking around the same amount of money. Is there anything that makes it to where we can't also apply for that and perhaps have someone else and do a dual? I'm just saying, I'm just thinking here, why not do a little of both or something? I'm just wondering, is there something about this Explore the Coast Overnight grant that says you can only do it if it's a self-managed by the harbor?
You know, so my first thought was, why doesn't the harbor keep one lot and have a tenant do the other lot? We have two large RV parks. Why not split them? And then you don't definitely don't run into another Alex Lehman situation. We maintain public access for one. And if we can't do it, we can't do the overnight, then they'd be willing to take it over. Or they prove that they can manage it, then they can take it over. But you know, that wasn't a proposal that we were presented. Instead, the overflow lot was thrown in there as well. So again, that's just what I'm being presented, not what I agree with. But your question was, explore the coast overnight. My understanding is the harbor has to apply for it as a public agency. However, it doesn't exclude the lessee from receiving that benefit. So whether we apply for it ourselves as the operator or apply for it on behalf of the lessee, as long as they meet the terms of the grant, I believe they can.
Good. No, really good information. And let answer the 12%. Yeah.
Alicia. Okay. Yeah, that 12% wording in there, it's super confusing. That is a combination of the harbor's attorney and our attorney coming up with that language. That seems not common sense. The overall meaning and what is intended there is that we have that 12% percentage rent proposal. The harbor was concerned, for example, if I was to lease out that area to a food truck. Okay, so how do we charge the food truck for that? So like if I said, well, I'm going to charge them $1,000 a month to be parked in that space and sell food for the harbor, then I would receive $1,000 a month. I would need to pay the harbor 12% of my $1,000. Their concern, what from a legal point of view, was what's to prevent someone or prevent someone from going around forming a company that could then sort of pull the revenue in over there, but only have to share under the rent, like the $1,000 rent. Like, let's say it's a far-fetched idea, but I understand how they're trying to protect it. They're saying, what if you somehow found a way to funnel like $100,000 through the food truck, but then you said you're only paying $1,000 an hour, okay? Far-fetched, but that was their attorney's thing to protect us, so we had to do that.
But
what we have to do is we actually have to collect 12% of the food truck's gross revenue and then turn that over to the harbor. The food truck pays us $1,000 for the rent, and we give them 12% of our $1,000. So they get both. They get 12% of the rent they collect, and they get 12% of the food truck's revenue on top of it. That's what it's intended to say. It's a bit confusing the way it's written.
12% of all revenues received.
Yep, thank you. Sum it up, yes. And then for the other part, like the 2 million, whatever, we just haven't had discussions or feedback yet from the board on if we need to, like, you know, contain that into a certain time frame. Which just our proposal had that number as this is what we're agreeing to put in as an investment. And then we haven't, I realize the other presentation has that, but that has not been discussed with us prior, so.
But like in your ideas of plans going forward, did you guys figure that out? Like what you wanted to do?
Yeah.
First, how much it might cost?
Yeah. So most of that comes in upfront, obviously. Okay. So I mean, I can say to you right away, it's definitely within the initial term of the lease. And then a lot of it is in the upfront years, but I don't have that specified yet with the district.
But my first,
but then the first, I guess.
Yeah, those terms will be solidified in the contract itself. And that's why I'm saying this vote today or whoever we choose, it might not, we might not be able to come to terms on the contract itself. But anyways, go ahead.
So would you guys be open to doing what Pam suggested for us? You could do the one RP or two out of the three. Is it one of, is it two or three RPs?
No, there's two RV blocks.
And then
we called it overflow.
Okay.
Which I think in the past actually was an RV block.
It was. It was when the one park was full, the SS trailers, there was a whole full of hookups over there.
Yeah. I guess the honest answer would be is our whole business plan is built on everything together. So it'll be a completely different business plan we have to consider. So at the moment, I think our preference would still be the main thing that we propose with both sides because, sort of have plans for both sides. We want them to sort of piggyback off each other. We got some ideas with that. We're using one side more for, I guess, people that want to stay a little longer, develop one for more of people that are going to come in faster and come in and out more often, things like that. So, yeah, I think, honestly, the honest answer is we want to have it to the way it is now.
Okay. I didn't look at the packet, so does it have more details in the packet about what you're speaking of?
It does. I think, I'm assuming our presentation is probably still online, our original presentation.
Oh.
And then we submitted a supplemental presentation as well that I want to say is out there as well.
Yeah, that'd be great because I haven't had time to look at it.
Okay. Is there any other public comment on the CC Holdings proposal? Okay, I think we're going to take about a 8-minute break. I don't have to go to the restroom. And then we'll come back, and I think I'll give a 3-minute time for each of the presenters if they want to use it. Is our financial advisor going to weigh in at all, or did Ryan want to speak at all?
I think we're going back into closed session, right?
You know, oh, then we're in closed session.
Then
we'll come out and vote. Oh, that's right. Okay. So, yeah, we'll come back we'll just.
Just go to closed session now.
Or is there any more that you guys want to say? Daniel, is there anything you'd like to comment on any of the last comments that we just had?
Well, the PowerPoint presentation is posted, correct?
Yeah. Yours presentation says, yeah. I think there's a little confusion because the credits of the loans came in kind of late. So, okay, with that, I think we're going to convene into closed session. You know, this closed session, is it going to take more than a half hour?
I think so.
Okay, we're going to plan on a half hour closed session, then we're going to come back and we'll do our vote. So,
maybe we'll be calling by 3:30?
Yeah, well, let's reconvene at 3:30.
This is Brown Act violation because on the agenda it says you're not taking a final vote and then it doesn't say about going back into. I'm just
so the vote is to give direction and then the vote is to give direction to staff and then we will. Because we've already, I think we've been working with a lot of money recently to negotiate past that. You don't want to waste that, you know, some of that is so much cheaper. Trying to just narrow the scope of the vote, I think it seems that's going to be.
Well, are you going to make the vote for the
board's going to direct staff.
Finalize the contract.
No, I'm going to stick around.
But then the contract itself, I'll come back.
You get us out of the room now.
Yeah, we're gonna go into closed session this time. We clear the room.
Right.
We are gonna reconvene out of closed session. Nothing was reported out of closed session. We were going to work on something with Fashion Blacksmith, but our attorney wasn't available, so we might have to have another closed session. But for now, we had a discussion during the closed session, and we're prepared to vote. And so I think we've turned in our vote. And so
Derek Shepard voted EFP. Vice Chair Evans voted BSE. Commissioner Weber voted BSE. Commissioner Niemer voted BSE. Commissioner Schmidt voted BSE.
That we're going to adjourn this meeting, and we're meeting again May, was it May 13th? Or is it? May 13th on Wednesday. Thank you very much for coming and all the comments, and thank you very much.
Thank you.